We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. Ecclesiastes. And in case you were not aware, Ecclesiastes is probably my favorite book of the Bible. Ecclesiastes is a book I learned from my dad, and it's a book that sometimes people read and kind of look through and don't think much of it. But if you actually study the book of Ecclesiastes, it is a phenomenal book to study, especially for teenagers or young people. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. The word Ecclesiastes simply means the preacher, and it is Solomon searching for the meaning in life. I will go ahead and warn you that it is extremely depressing for the first 10 chapters. It is very depressing because he tries to find the meaning in life, and everything he tries and concludes, he concludes to be vanity. Now, vanity simply means worthless or empty. My dad always uses the illustration of cotton candy, that it looks really good, and you put it in your mouth and chew on your tongue because there's nothing there. Okay, that is basically what vanity is. Vanity is something that looks really, really good. It's something you really, 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 really want, and then you get it, and you are completely empty, and it does not satisfy you. So in Ecclesiastes, we're going to look at the book, and then we're going to see how it fits with the rest of Scripture. But here, Solomon is going to look at all of life, and he's going to figure out what the purpose of life is. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Now you're going to hear this repeated continuously. He begins to look at life and he just says, from the very beginning, he says, it's worthless, worthless, everything is worthless. And he's going to expound on this continuously for the next 10 chapters. So verse 3 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. "What profit has a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun?" This is the question he's sitting out. Okay? What good does it do you to work hard? What good does it do you to pursue pleasure, to get married, to have children, to have a house, to have a car? What good does it do you? What is it going to benefit you to study and be smart and have a degree? What good does it do you to stay up late laughing with friends? What good is it going to do you? That's the question here. What is the purpose or meaning of life? So he begins to observe all of creation. He says this, "One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." He's beginning to look and see that the all of creation is just a big, giant circle. People have observed that history goes in a circle. And one generation comes, and they die, and another generation comes, and they die, and another generation comes, and they die. And guess what? The earth keeps spinning, and the world keeps going around and around the sun. He said, "The sun arises, and the sun goes down, and hastes to the place where he arose." In other words, the sun gets up, and it, oh, wow, it's daylight, and then it goes down. Then it gets up, it's daylight, and then it just keeps going. It's just a complete, giant circle. He goes on. "The wind goes towards the south and turns about to the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits." I mean, think of how powerful the wind is. But you know what happens? The wind blows one way one day, and guess what it does the next day? It blows everything back. I don't know if you've ever been out raking your yard and the wind blows the opposite way, so you decide I'm going to rake the opposite way, and you rake the opposite way, and guess what happens? The wind changes directions. It'll blow all your leaves. In my backyard in the fence, it'll blow all the leaves to one fence. Like, oh, this is good. It'll be easy to rake my yard. And you know what happens? The next day, it just blows them all back to the next fence. That's just, what purpose is it? What purpose is it? He goes on. "All the rivers run to the sea." Okay? All of those waters are rushing, all the big waterfalls, everything. They're rushing as fast as they can to get into the ocean. And what does it say? But they can never fill it up. The sea is not full. "Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." What happens? We all know the water cycle. They run to the ocean, they evaporate, come back, rains on the land. And they run to the ocean and then evaporates, comes back, rains on the land. And just keeps going and going and going and going. He says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. In other words, we could continuously talk about how everything just keeps going and going and going and going, yet nothing seems to change. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. In other words, you can go see all the sights, and by the time you get home, guess what you're going to want to do again? Go back and see him again. Okay? Men search all over the place to find a beautiful woman. And guess what? When they find a beautiful woman, they got to find one that looks better than her. That's just the way it works. Okay? I want to go see France. Guess what happens when you get back from France? You're going to begin to go, when you're going to go back to see France again. You can go see the Grand Canyon, and guess what? You can go back and see it again and again and again. He says, the ear is not filled with hearing. How many of y'all have ever said, oh, it's a new song, I gotta get this new CD, and then you get the CD, and then you know what? The artist comes out with another new album, and you have to go listen to it again. How many of you have ever just said, you know what? I have listened to this music for so long, I'm never going to listen to music ever again. I'm going to go to the doctor and have my ears shut off. Why? Because you can continuously listen, and guess what happens? Next morning, you want to listen some more, listen some more, listen some more. Notice what he says next. The thing that has been is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Okay, we have all these new things. We live in this great age of discovery and technology. And guess what we find out? That everything is just going the same way that it went with the Greeks. And then when the Greeks died, the Romans. And then when the Romans died, you get the point. It just keeps going. It keeps going and going. And he says this, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old time, which was before us. You know, by the time Adam was dead, mankind had already done everything mankind was going to do. Kind of depressing, isn't it? I mean, it's really. Okay, keeps reading. There is no remembrance of former things. Why do we think things are new? Because we never studied history and don't remember what happened before us. Neither will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. Notice what he says. Why do we think things are new? Oh, it's because we haven't studied history. We forgot about the generation before us. And guess what the next generation is going to do with us? They're going to forget about us. You know, people talk about the greatest generation that ever lived. Give it 100 years and nobody will remember their names. You can begin to look at this and go, okay, what is the point of anything? Let's keep reading. He says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail has God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. This is what he says. I was king. We've studied Solomon. What happened with Solomon? Solomon, as soon as he got everything, he had inherited a kingdom of peace because David had won all the wars. And from there, he got wisdom from the Lord. And then he had extreme wealth. He had all the women he could ever want. What on earth was Solomon supposed to do for his entire reign? He says, you know what? I'm going to figure life out. I don't have to fight battles. I don't have to make political alliances. I don't have to worry about feeding people and worrying about the economy and all the other things that our society talks about today, you know, fixing the economy and all these other things. He says, I'm going to figure life out. What is the purpose of life? Because he says at the beginning, you know what it appears like? Emptiness and vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit just means it's just going to make you more upset. And it's just pain and sorrow and suffering. You know, there are times I think we've all looked at life and just said, what is the point? Why do I keep going to work to get treated this way, to go home and barely get enough sleep to get up and go back to work and go through it all over again? The equipment that I'm fixing today is going to break tomorrow. That's just the reality. Okay? I'm going to go paint the living room. Guess what's going to happen as soon as it's done being painted? A kid's going to go through with a crayon. That's just the reality. I honestly almost hate mopping the floor. Because as soon as I mop the floor, guess what happens? A kid drops a bowl of cereal. That's what happens. Or they drop spaghetti. That's just the way life is. And just because, why? What is the point? Okay? Why do you mow the grass? So it can grow again. That's just the reality. Why do you pull the weeds out of your garden? So they can be there tomorrow. That do you begin to see? Okay, you know, why do you teach your kids something? You're going to have to turn around tomorrow and you're spanking them for the exact same thing you spanked them for today. Doesn't it appear to be that way? So he says, I'm going to figure this out. And then this is what he says in verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He says, there's no way you can fix it. Okay? At the very onset, before he even begins to look at life, he says, yeah, I know it's messed up, and you can try all you want to, but you can't fix it. Okay? And we've tried, haven't we? We've got all these great ways of trying to fix weeds in the garden, and so then guess what happens? We find out that we kill all the weeds, and then we pollute our water source and drink poison. Okay, so we try to do fix one thing. When we fix one thing, what happens? It results in breaking something else. And then he says, you just can't even begin to imagine almost how worthless this life is. So again, it starts off very depressing. You begin to read this and go, okay, this is not cool. So he's now going to begin to explore all of life. And this is what is so good for young people. I really encourage parents to sit down with their children and go over Ecclesiastes. Because he is going to deal with all the temptations that young people face at a very young age. And he's going to take all of the temptations to the nth degree. Notice this in chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He says, I'm going to try living for pleasure. He's going to try sex, partying, alcohol, drugs. He's going to try all that. He's going to see if there is something to this, let's just have a good time. Let's all get together and hang out and have a good time. Now, he's going to have the best time that anyone could have, because notice what happens. He says, I said of laughter it's mad, and of mirth, what does it? He says, I want to know, is laughter satisfying? I mean, we all like to have a good time, don't we? We all like to get together and laugh, joke, cut up. So he said, I'm going to try it. Okay, so notice what he does. I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. Okay, he says, I'm going to try alcohol. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly. He says, I'm going to try all of these things, but I'm going to pay attention to what's going on to see if it actually satisfies me. Till I might see what was good for the sons of men. I want to see if this partying pleasure lifestyle is good. He said, that which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. If the whole point of life is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, he wants to know it, because then he's going to tell his son, hey, son, go chase all the women you can, go get as drunk as a skunk, and tomorrow morning wake up and do it all over again, if that's the meaning of life. So now he says this, I made me great works, I built in me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made pools of water to water there with the wood that brings forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem. I gathered me also silver and gold, the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as instruments of music and that of all sorts. Okay, notice what he says. There ain't nobody ever had a party like the party Solomon had. Okay, you talk about, oh, we're going to go get the best alcohol. He had a vineyard built right there in his backyard. Okay? Say, oh, we're going to go try this. You have never had the type of alcohol that Solomon had. Okay? He's going to do the best. We're going to have a great party. We're going to have a live band. He had the best live bands that have ever been. Well, you had a male band. We had a female band. No, he had a female band too. Well, ours had electric guitar. And another, maybe classical music will do it for you. He had every type of music known to man, men singers, women singers, every band. Not only that, well, the venue was too small. No, he built the house just for the party. Well, I would be satisfied if I had a leather couch. Oh, he had a leather couch. Okay, if the bread frame was made out of mahogany, he did it. Okay, well, maybe if the doors were encrusted with gold, his doors were encrusted with gold. Maybe if I could have a gold, we talk about born with a silver spoon in the mouth, okay? Everything, silver, ivory, gold. My wife asked me one time, she's reading through Chronicles, why did Solomon get peacocks and monkeys from all these other things? Oh, you talk about a party? He had himself a party. And young people today say, I want to do the party thing. Yeah, we can go out on Friday night, it's going to be great. No, he did this. There is no party like the party Solomon threw. There never has been, and there never will be. Okay, you can go to the greatest ritzy Hollywood, we spent $1 million on this party, and Solomon spent $1 billion. Okay, there's just, you cannot get, I mean, this guy had his own brewery at the party. Okay, there was no, oh, we ran out of alcohol. He had his own brewery right there at the party. Now notice what happens. He said, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. He said, I had the best party the world has ever seen. But he did it, he said, and I kept wisdom. In other words, he wanted to do this as an analogy to see if this works. Whatever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Now listen, when he says I withheld nothing, we're talking literally. The man had 1,000 wives. Think this through for a minute. Guys go, oh, if I could just be with that woman, I'd be happy. Solomon was with that woman. Any girl he wanted, he said, you. And he got it. Okay? This is the life Solomon's living. Okay? Anything he wanted. Okay, I saw on the news the other day where a really spoiled rich kid burned his Ferrari because he wanted a newer model. Because he wasn't happy with his Ferrari because it was not new enough. Okay? Solomon's one of those guys, if he wants it, he buys it. Anything. Anything. Have you ever walked through the store and said, oh, if I could just have that? Solomon had that. Okay? Anything. And notice what he says. I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought. Okay? After partying for weeks on end, after all the wine, women, song, after all of this, he said, behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Guess what his conclusion is? Chasing women is a waste of time. Sex will not satisfy you. Partying! Nope. Alcohol! Nope. Good food! Nope. Great music! Nope. You will never be to a party like Solomon threw. And yet at the end of the day, guess what he said? It's a waste of time. You see, this is where a lot of wisdom should come for young people, especially because this is a huge temptation. Everybody's getting together on Friday night. You're going to miss out. No, you're not. Solomon did it. And guess what he said? The end of it? It was a waste of time. You know, most of us would say it was a waste of time and money, but Solomon didn't have to worry about money. But you know, at the end of the day, he said, this is worthless. It's vanity. In other words, it looks really, really good. You look at all the beer commercials, and they got some pretty attractive people on there, don't they? And they're all laughing and joking, and they're on the beach, and they're having fun. And you know, at the end of the day, it's not fun. It's worthless. You see that guy in Hollywood, oh man, the woman he's married to, oh, she is so attractive. And guess what you find out? Oh, he's having an affair with somebody else. Why? Because at the end of the day, women, men, sex, drugs, alcohol, food, partying, music, pretty much all things young people live for today, is a waste of time. It's a complete waste. What do you have to show for it at the end of the day? A hangover and a killed liver? STDs? Like really, truly, what do you have to show for it at the end of the day? Absolutely nothing. So Solomon gives us a try. He doesn't put a time frame in here, but it wouldn't surprise me if this is like a 6-month-long party. 5-year-long party. And at the end of it, he goes, what's the point? Why am I doing this? And he's writing this so that his own son would go, yeah, maybe I shouldn't spend my life chasing these things. He's writing it so we would read this and go, yeah, you know what? Maybe the partying lifestyle is not all it's cut out to be. Maybe you know, getting a boyfriend, a girlfriend, the sex, all that. Maybe that's not the meaning in life. Okay? Now, notice what happens. Verse 12. I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that comes after the king? Even that which has been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happens to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so it happens even to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. There is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which is now as in the days to come shall all be forgotten. How dies the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me for all this vanity and vexation of spirit. He says, okay, I'm not going to do the partying lifestyle. I'm going to go get a PhD. Okay? I'm going to be a bookworm nerd. And I'm going to compare this with being a complete idiot. Okay? He already tried the complete idiot thing. Okay? He already tried that I'm going to drop out of school and party and chase women, and that didn't work. So he's going to say, I'm going to go get the PhD. And guess what he concludes? At the end of the day, we're both going to die. And at the end of the day, you're going to forget the guy with the PhD just as much as you forget the town drunk. It's a reality. You know, we think of, oh, well, Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was probably one of maybe 500 billion people alive at his time. And how many of them do you remember? And how many of us know much about Isaac Newton? Those are like, you know, the apple falling him on the head. Like, really? Wow. Way to live your life, bud. But this is the thing, though, is it not? Okay, he's going to be the smartest man that ever lived. And guess what he finds out? At the end of the day, smart people and dumb people both die. Okay, and guess what, you know what his conclusion is? I hated my life. That's his conclusion. This is stupid. Why even try? Why even study? Why even try to get good grades? Because 30, 40, 50, okay, oh, so you get a good job. And what good is a good job going to get you? Oh, so you can get a good-looking wife. Okay, well, what good is that going to do you? Oh, so you can have a nice party. What good is that going to do you? Okay, again, let me tell you, the beginning of this book is very depressing. Because he begins to go through everything that human beings pour their lives into. And some people say, oh, I have a PhD. Well, guess what? They're not going to put it on your tombstone. And even if they do, I've walked through this cemetery all the time when I'm on the phone. If any of y'all ever call me and we talk for more than like 5 minutes, I'm walking up and down out there because it's peace and quiet outside. And you know what? Besides for the ones that I've personally done the funerals, I have no idea who's out there and quite honestly don't care. That's just a reality. And most of us, we don't care. And we go, oh, you know, there's some CSA tombstones out there. Oh, he fought in the Confederacy. Okay. Yeah, so did another, what, 500,000 people? Okay, now let's keep reading, okay? So let's go on and skip ahead a little bit, chapter 3. Okay, actually, let's go to verse 24 of chapter 2, and then we'll skip ahead to chapter 3. He's going to repeat something here. He's starting to figure something out. So in verse 24, he says, there's nothing better for a man. This is chapter 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat, drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. He says, okay, one thing I have figured out is that we should enjoy life. Work hard and go home and enjoy a good meal with your family. Okay? Go to work hard, go home, enjoy the weekend with your kids. Okay? This is he's starting to see, okay, here's some meaning in life. It may not give you ultimate meaning, but hey, we're created to enjoy the good things in life. Okay? Some people view Christianity as the no fun people. If it's fun, you're not allowed to do it. No. We should enjoy good food. Hey, work hard. Go buy you some steaks and grill out for the weekend. Enjoy it. Enjoy time with your children. Enjoy time with your family. Notice this in chapter 3, verse 13. Also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Okay? Enjoy life. Say, well, it's kind of hard to enjoy life when nothing's fun and everything's vanity. He's going to give you something here to think about. He's beginning to see that there is some meaning in life, and that we do work and we do all these things to enjoy life. Now, to push your whole life to, I'm going to just eat steak the rest of my life. Yeah, that's worthless. So I'm going to work the rest of my life and get lots and lots of money. No, that's worthless. But hey, you know, enjoy life. Get married. Have children. Go work hard, and come back and enjoy your home, enjoy the food. Notice this in chapter 3, verse 17. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them, and they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts. Even one thing befalls them. As the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all return to the dust again. Who knows the spirit of man that goes upward and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? For I perceive that this is nothing better, that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who will bring him to see what will be after him? He says, you know what? If you begin to really look at life, there's really very little difference between you and a mosquito, between you and a grasshopper, you and a rat. Why? Well, because you're going to live your little life and you're going to die and be forgotten. That mosquito that bit you and you splattered with your hand, you know what? It lived its little life and it died. And you're going to do the same thing. So he says, at least enjoy your life. Enjoy the brief portion of time that God has given you on this earth. But notice what he keeps saying. He's going to keep going on this idea in chapter 5, verse 10. And for the sake of time, we're skipping over a lot of his examining of life. But I want you to bring out some highlights so you get the point here. Chapter 5, verse 10. He that loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. He that loves abundance with increase, this is also vanity. You know what? I'm going to work hard and become a billionaire. Have you ever seen someone become a billionaire and quit? How many of y'all know what Tiger Woods' life goal is? Tiger Woods' life goal was to become a billionaire so his family would be provided for. A billionaire. I mean, like most of us, we get like $1 million in the bank. Our family's set for a long time. But he wanted to become a billionaire so his family would be okay. And you know what he is? He's a billionaire. You know what he still does? Plays golf. Chases women. Why? Because $1 billion won't satisfy you. Why is Donald Trump running for president? Let me ask you this. Why are you trying to have the amount of money Donald Trump has? He's a billionaire, isn't he? Isn't that what all Americans want to be? And yet, the one who has it says it's worthless. I can't remember what comedian it was. I believe it was Jim Carrey who said something very similar to the Book of Solomon, the Book of Ecclesiastes. He said, you know, everybody wants the popularity, the fame, the money, the women, the everything, and I've had it all, and I can tell you it's worthless and does not satisfy. Okay? You want money. Guess what? You will never be satisfied with money. If I just had $1,000, guess what happens? If I handed you $1,000 today, you'd say, if I only had $2,000. If you got $2,000, if I only had $3,000. Okay? If I only had this pickup truck, if I gave you that pickup truck, thank you, Kenny. You know what you'd say? If only I had rims on this pickup truck. If you got rims on the pickup truck, you'd say, if only I had a sound system in this pickup truck. If you had the sound system, guess what you'd say? If I only had new tires. If you had new tires, guess what you'd say? If only I had a lift kit. If you had a lift, I mean, is that not the way it goes? If I had this gun, I'd be happy. Well, if I had this scope on this gun, I'd be happy. It never stops. If I had this pair of shoes, oh, but I need them in navy, not just black. You're never satisfied. If I could build my dream home, you know what happens as soon as your dream home's built? It's not big enough. We built a home for a guy. I think I've told you this before. I was really, 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 really rich. He had a home on Panama City Beach, and he had a home in Enterprise, Alabama. And there's about a two-hour drive between Enterprise and Panama City. And that was a really long drive, so he decided to build a house in between because he didn't want to have to drive 2 hours straight, you know, to get from his beach house to his regular house. So we built this house for him. Beautiful, beautiful house. Very, very expensive house. Cedar house. I mean, cedar wood on the outside. Inside is gorgeous. And as soon as it was built, it was about the time, when we finished, it was about the time I moved here. And when I was moving here, he was already writing up plans to add a 1,600 square foot bedroom to his in-between house. 1,600 square foot bedroom. Think about that. And you know what was going to happen when he was done the 1,600 square foot bedroom? He was going to build a guest house so that his guests could stay in his in-between house without staying in his house. It was his in-between house. And you know what's going to happen when that was done? He's going to build something else. You'll never be satisfied with the possessions of this life. You'll never be satisfied with guns, cars, clothes, money. will never be satisfied. Verse 11. I love this. And those of y'all who have lots of children, you'll understand this. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. Oh, you got a bonus at work. And your watch break. That's the way it works, isn't it? Okay? It says, and what good is it to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Hey, good job. You got a bonus at work. And now you just get to see it go into your bank account and out at your bank account at the same time. You just got to see it go past. That's all that happened. Okay? Notice this. The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. Let's see. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There's a sore evil which I've seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begots a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he go as he came. He shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. This also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he that has labored for the wind? You know what he calls possessions? The wind. Have you ever caught the wind in your hand? You can. Okay? It blows, and you go like this. And I know you're not believing me, but you actually caught the wind. Do you know what the wind is? Nothing. You can catch it in a sheet. You get two people, then you catch the wind. You can fold it up and take it inside. And you know what? You got the wind, and you took it inside. You know what it was? Nothing. You know what money is? Nothing. You got it! And guess what happens when you die? I love it. It says, a rich man's kid is born naked. Think about that. A rich man's kid is born with nothing. And guess how the rich man dies? With nothing. Oh, he may have a bigger tombstone than you do. But inside that casket is the same dirt. The same thing. So why would we waste our lives for money? We're not going to waste it for pleasure. We're not going to waste it for alcohol and partying and drugs and women and sex and all that. We're not going to chase it for wisdom, for education and wisdom and foolishness and laughter. We're not going to do it for money. So what does he say next? Okay. All his days he eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes from the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his portion. Why did God give you possessions? So you can be a miser and store it all up in the bank? No, so you can enjoy this life. What good does it do you to have $10 million in the bank when you die? Okay, that's time that you could have spent with your wife and children. That's time you could have spent doing other things. And the reason God gave you the money was so that you can enjoy life. And you can enjoy life, as we're going to see at the end, for His glory. So notice what he says. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life because God answers him in the joy of his heart. You know what? Enjoy life now. Because if you bust your tail to have $1 million in your bank account when you retire, guess what you got? $1 million in your bank account when you retire, and when you die, it's nothing. You're going to look back and go, oh, all that time I could have spent throwing baseball with my kids. All that time I could have spent serving the unfortunate, the disabled, the widow. All that time I could have spent serving the Lord. All that time I could have spent teaching my children the things of God. All that time I spent chasing a dollar that will disappear and rot. And sometimes we don't even have to wait to the end of our life. We just have to wait till the stock market crash. And guess what happens? There it all goes. Years and years and years that you could have spent enjoying what God has given you. Now, let's skip ahead. I would encourage you, really encourage you, especially you dads, to take Ecclesiastes and sit down with your kids and go over what he says. Because he goes over all of life. You know what his conclusion is? If you pour your life into anything except what he says at the very end of the book, your life's a waste. Complete waste. It's empty. And what Solomon's trying to do is he's trying to save us from chasing all of these things that are dead ends. So notice this in chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south and toward the north, and the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the cloud shall not reap. As you know not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you know not the work of God who makes all. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand. For you know not whether you shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Notice what he says. As he's drawing his conclusion, he says this. He says, use what God has given you. Invest. Go out. Work. Go out and give to other people. You say, well, I don't know what's going to happen if I give to this person. No, you don't, but do it anyway. Well, I'm scared to go out and plant because it might not rain. It might be a drought. Yeah, and you might starve if you don't. So go plant. You know, why do I go to work? I might get fired. Yeah, you might. But do it anyway. Well, I love this person. They may reject me. Love them anyway. He's here about talking about living a life of investing. A life of investing your possessions, investing your time, investing in other people. You know what? May that investment blow up in your face. Yes. You know, many people, they don't want to come to church and they don't want anybody to get close to them because everybody I love hurts me. Yes, that's true. Many times people who you love will hurt you. People say, I'm never going to get married because, you know, I don't want to get divorced. Well, I can guarantee this. If you don't get married, you'll never get divorced. It's the reality. But if you never take a risk, you know what? You'll never have a reward. You don't know what's going to happen. So live a life of investment. Invest in people. Invest in things. Buy a piece of property. Start a business. Invest some money in a business somewhere. Invest money in person. You know, I'm going to lose all my money. You may, but you may have a better life for you and your family. You may, you know, investing in a church, investing in people. You know what? You may meet some really neat people and develop some great relationships. Yeah, you might get hurt. But, you know, why invest in my kids? They're just going to turn their back on me and walk away from me. You know, people say, I don't want to have kids because kids, they're just going to ruin my life. Or they might be the greatest blessing you ever had. You know, there is no reward without risk. So he's not saying that you just need to take everything you got and go hoard up somewhere out in the Alaskan wilderness and never talk to people and never plant a garden, never do anything. No. He's saying invest. You see, what he's seen here is that God has given us so much to enjoy. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the, well, I want a prettier girlfriend. I want a nicer car. I want more money in the bank. I want this promotion at work. I want a bigger house. I want to, you know, have more fun on Friday night. I want a bigger party. That we can get so caught up in that you know what we do? We don't enjoy anything in life. That we become misers with our time, misers with our relationship, misers with our money, misers with everything, as opposed to investing in people, investing our time. Yes, at the end of the day, it may blow up in your face. But the reward is worth it. So now he's going to draw the conclusion. And we're going to tie the conclusion in with everything we've seen here and then all the scripture. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is the conclusion. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. He says, you want to know the purpose of life? While you are young, live for the Lord. While you are young, don't chase sex and drugs and alcohol and men and women and wealth and all these degrees and everything. No, chase your Creator. Live for God. He says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, this is one of the best descriptions of old age he's getting ready to give. This is one of my favorite descriptions of being old. Okay? While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about cataracts. Okay, cataracts are like a cloud that covers your eyes. Guess what happens as you get old? Okay, are you're on medication? Okay, what happens? When the sun comes out after the rain, it still looks cloudy. It's not as bright, not as clear as it used to be. Even on a clear sunny day, you can't see what you used to. And the day when the keepers of the house will tremble. What keeps house? How many of you ever seen somebody old and this is what they do? They handshake, don't they? Okay? Keepers of the house tremble. It says, the strong men will bow themselves. You ever seen an old man who walks with his back bowed over? Okay? Notice what he says next. And the grinders cease because they are few. In other words, your teeth fall out. Okay, that's the grinders. Okay? He says this. And those that look out the windows be darkened. In other words, your eyesight begins to fade. It says, the doors will be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. In other words, when people talk, it sounds like they're talking through a door. And all of a sudden, you can't hear the dishwasher running. You can't hear the washing machine going. Why? Because your hearing is beginning to fade. Hey, can you talk a little bit louder? Why does it sound like everybody's in another room when they're talking to me? That's what happens as you get older. Your hearing begins to fail. He says, he will rise up at the voice of a bird. How many of you have ever found out that, especially many of you all here are not old enough to recognize this. Some of you may be getting on the cusp of this. But the older you get, you can't sleep in anymore. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You go, why am I awake? Wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. What woke me up? Okay? Notice what it says next. It says, and all the daughters of music will be brought low. It's really hard to hear. It says this, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and there shall be fears in the way. What happens when you get older? You're scared of falling. You don't want to get on the roof anymore. You know why? Because if you fall off, it's going to be a whole lot worse than when you were 12 years old and fell off the roof. Okay? You're scared of walking. Why? Because you might stumble and fall. It says, and the almond tree shall flourish. Almond buds are really white. Guess what happens to your hair when you get older? It turns white. Notice what it says next. And desire shall fail. You're not hungry anymore. The desire for going outside and doing things, the desire for sex, the desire for all these things, you just kind of not want to do much anymore because you're getting older. Notice what it says next. Because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. You know what he says? Serve God while you're young, because there's going to come a day when you won't be able to. There's going to come a day when you won't be able to walk down the street without a walker. There's going to come a day when you're not going to be able to hear people. There's going to come a day when you're not going to be able to see or read. Now that you're young, now that you're healthy, don't chase women. Don't chase men. Don't chase money. Don't chase alcohol. Don't chase party. Don't chase music. Serve the Lord. Because at the end of the day, you may look back and you may be broke, but everything you've done for the Lord will mean something. That's why he says to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. This ties directly into enjoy the gift of your labor now. Enjoy the health God has given you today for his glory. Enjoy the home and the possessions that God has given you today for his glory. Enjoy your children. Because guess what's going to happen in 20 years? Not a single one of them is going to be in your house anymore. Okay? Enjoy them now. You chase all these degrees. You chase all this money. You chase all this success at work and the promotion and all of this. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to retire and all your kids are going to be gone. Enjoy the time now with your children. Invest in your children now. Teach them the Word of God now. Use your youth now. Now is the time to go be a missionary. Now is the time to go. I will use my retirement for the Lord. One, who makes you think you're going to see retirement? And two, by the time you retire, how do you know you're going to be physically able to do anything for the Lord? You know, one of the greatest lies that I began to buy into when I was younger is, I'll serve the Lord when I graduate from high school. And then I graduated from high school and went to college. And I said, I'll serve the Lord when I graduate from college. No. I had to serve the Lord now. One of the greatest messages I heard that affected my life was from a friend of mine, Jeff Robinson. That's where I began the ministry. As he talked about the parable of the talents, and the one who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And he said, you know, some of y'all want to serve in the ministry and you'll pastor churches someday. Why don't you come with me and work with juveniles in prison? Why would God give you something big if you won't do something little? It's a reality. God has given you right now, even as a child, gifts, talents, and abilities. Why would God give you any more if you will not use what you currently have for his glory? You have time, you have gifts, you have the ability to pray, read the Bible, study. You have opportunities as teenagers, you have opportunities as young adults, even parents with young children. You have opportunities now. You have health and you have opportunities now. Use them for God's glory because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Live for God today. Live for Him today. Invest everything you have now in people. Oh, but it may not turn out to be anything. That's why chapter 11, what is he talking about? Invest in people. Invest in your children. Invest in lost people. Invest in a church. You know what? It may blow up tomorrow. So what? If you don't invest, you'll never reap the rewards. Now notice his conclusion. Verse 9. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yet he gave good heed, sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written in upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherds. Further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. He says, at the end of the day, I am tired of studying. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know why you were created? To give glory to God. You know how you give glory to God? By fearing Him and keeping His commandments. Investing what He has given you in others' lives, investing what you've given you in your wife and children, investing what He has given you in your local church, investing what He's given you in business opportunities and other things, in your neighbors, your neighborhood, in your country. You see, at the end of the day, what does He say? God will bring every work into judgment. At the end of the day, you will stand before God, and your crazy party will get you nothing. At the end of the day, your bank account will get you nothing. At the end of the day, your success in whatever career you've chosen will get you nothing. At the end of the day, what is the saying? Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. This is the whole purpose of life. Now you can see how this fits with the whole of Scripture. What were we created for? Genesis 1. The glory of God. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. For God's glory. Hey, we're talking about this in the Great Commission. What are we supposed to do? Go fill the earth for God's glory. What are we called to do? Remember the Creator. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Serve the Lord today. You're not promised tomorrow. Again, great book. Encourage you to teach your kids this. Especially when they start to get teenager age and everybody goes, what are you going to do with your life? You'll get married? No. You know what you need to teach them? Hey, serve the Lord with all your might. Because there's going to come a day when you don't have any might left. And you want to look back with no regrets that you serve the Lord. All right. Any comments or questions on this?